Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on His Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, His name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust.
Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Ford Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry Scott.
How are you?
I am well, little tired.
At 2:30 in the morning, you're going to get used to that here in about two or three more years.
It'll
take a while, brother.
That reminds me of the joke. I don't know if you told this or somebody told it about they were out to sea and this guy was new on the ship, yeah. and he has had his head hung over because he was, you know, really, really sick.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
one
sir.
Of his buddy sailors come along, pat him on the back, says, "Oh, son, don't worry. He said, seasickness won't kill you." And he said, "Don't tell me that. That was the only hope I had for living."
So, well, getting up at 2:30 won't kill you.
No, it won't.
At least not in the short run.
No. I'm getting more used to it.
If you hang in there a long time. I'm singing the song, a theme song that comes on. In God we still trust. And watching the news earlier this morning, just catching up on what's going on this morning. Explosion at a chemical plant, I believe it was.
Down in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. And folks still being rescued.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at least the rain has stopped.
The rain has stopped.
And some, I forget the name of the town just outside of Houston there, 52 inches, I think, of rain. I can't even imagine 52 inches of rain.
No, and wow. I think some of it's coming our way maybe on Friday. Is that right?
Yeah. It's going to start easing in here, yes, tomorrow. Yeah. Well, actually, so you'll see some of it tonight, I think.
How late, Timotheus?
I don't know exact times. Yeah. I'm guessing a little after 3 a.m.
Oh, 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then it'll start moving in.
Then I've got plenty of time to mow the grass tonight.
Oh, yeah. Get your grass mowed.
Yeah, got to get the grass mowed. Well, if folks wanted to call us, if they wanted to communicate with us, how might they do that?
Well, they might want to find out about lawn care or something. I don't know.
They might.
789-0318. You can also email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com.
Amen. Amen. So, Timotheus, the Highland Church, we talked last night about sending some relief aid to the folks in Houston. And we work with a group called IDES, International Disaster Service, and they're out of Noblesville, Indiana.
Great bunch of people.
Oh, my. They came in here 3 years ago.
Yeah, when we had the flooding up at Flat Gap.
Yeah. And you and a lot of the other men worked in building, putting things together for them.
20 storage buildings.
And they were there giving instruction, but we had hands-on. You guys had hands-on.
They kind of got us a kick start, and we took off.
Yeah. They're a great group. They've been in business helping people in disasters, all kinds of disasters, all over the world. Since about 1952, IDES, I think, is the web address. IDES, of course, www.ides.org, I think it is. Find out all about them. But they're a great group. They're already on the ground and, or in the water.
Yeah.
And we're going to be sending some relief, financial relief there next week to help them.
And somebody may be listening and not knowing where to send their money to.
Right.
Or what to do with it, but they would like to help.
Or
who to trust.
Yeah.
Right there is a great group of people that we have, as we just mentioned, that we have benefited from.
We
folks
have.
Around the Flat Gap area.
Oh, my, yes.
They brought 20 buildings in, two different tractor trailers,
yeah.
Flatbeds,
yeah.
Brought the materials in. Not a penny did it cost anybody.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
What a great relief.
Yeah, we had, you know, folks wanting to pay. I mean, how much is it going to cost?
Yeah.
And they couldn't believe it when we told them it was nothing.
Yeah.
Rick Vidito and others, yourself and others, are just instrumental in that ministry. We've got that ministry in all kinds, a virtual cornucopia.
We've got a lot of stuff going on.
A lot of stuff going on in Highland. Because,
even some volleyball games.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
That's a ministry.
We're like the commercial. We know a lot of stuff because we've seen a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But
I like
this is a real disaster out there for those people.
It is.
Some 30,000 people, I believe, are displaced.
I would guess so, at least.
Yeah.
I think there was they're talking about the Houston area, 6.5 million. People, they were had a big issue why the mayor didn't evacuate the town. He said it was impossible to do that.
Where do they go?
What do you do with, in 2 days? What do you do with 6.5 million people?
I don't know. We've heard all kinds of speculation about, couldn't God do something about that? Couldn't God have stopped that?
Well, that's the first thing that usually pops up.
It does, and I understand people's frustration with those kinds of things. There are three or four things that we might think about. And I think they're all wrong. For instance, here's the first thing. These are not logical to say, well, we just didn't pray enough.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't pray enough. Well, Scripture teaches that you do not have because you do not ask. We know that, James 4, mm-hmm. verse 2. But did this storm strike all of these people because we didn't pray enough? I don't think so.
These same questions were asked during Rita.
Sure.
Did I say that right? Is that the right?
Right. And they're always asked. Asked. Is a lack of intercession, is a lack of prayer to blame for every national disaster and every disease? Intercession is prayer, prevent all natural calamity? It cannot.
No.
It cannot.
I don't think so.
So let's not blame it on lack of prayer. Someone else said, well, we're just being punished for our sin. We hear that a lot.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So God brought the plagues we know against Egypt
mm-hmm.
in response to Pharaoh's hardened heart.
Yep.
And the book of Revelation, Timotheus, is just filled with natural disasters sent by God to punish people who reject him. So the question then arises, is Hurricane Harvey an instrument of his wrath against man's sinfulness? If that's so, does that mean then that people living on the Gulf Coast are worse sinners than those living in Los Angeles and New York City? Remember when the Tower of Siloam fell and Jesus asked that question in Luke's Gospel, I think it's about chapter 18, are these worse sinners than all sinners?
Yeah.
No, they're not. They're not. We know sometimes that can bring us to repentance, but that's not always an explanation for that. Here's a third thing that people say. Fairness demands that he not intervene. Fairness demands that he not intervene. If God had stopped the Hurricane Harvey, wouldn't he have to do the same thing to the next storm?
Yeah. Or why didn't he do it to the last one?
Yeah. So these are not logical responses. How's this, Timotheus? If we follow that logic, that would mean that he can't cure anyone of cancer unless he cures everyone of cancer. So it breaks down, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the fourth thing sometimes people will say. He doesn't know. He doesn't care. He can't help.
Yeah.
Boy, that's the saddest one of all.
Yeah, it
is. Skeptics claim God saw the devastation of the hurricane coming or didn't care for those in its path. He had the power to do it, some will say, but he didn't do it. He didn't intervene. He could have, but and since he didn't, some folks say, that means he can't.
Hmm.
Well, all of those are illogical. The Word of God says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Hebrews 13, verse 8. He's omniscient. He's got compassion. He's omnipotence. Everything that God is on display regularly in a broken world. Here's the bottom line. Here's the answer. There is no immediate answer.
Yeah.
It's a mystery. I don't know why sometimes God intervenes and sometimes God doesn't intervene. And you know what, Timotheus? Nobody else does either.
No.
So
no.
We need to stop listening to people that have all the answers. Sometimes we just have to say,
I don't know.
His ways are not our ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts.
Amen.
Isaiah 55:8. But I do know this. This is something, Timotheus, I know for sure. I know that our Father redeems all that he allows. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I know that he suffers with us,
mm-hmm.
and I know he loves us unconditionally. That's found in Romans 8, verse 35 through 39. These are some scriptures we need to turn to in times of a disaster, in times of heaviness, in times of woe, in times of loss. And I know this also. I know that one day the broken world in which you and I live and all of us live will be gone.
Yep.
And we'll live, praise God, in a new heaven and a new earth, Revelation 21:1. And so until that day comes, I'm going to choose to trust what I don't understand.
Yep.
And God, who does understand, will comfort and strengthen me.
Let God be God.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to be God.
Yeah.
So folks listening might have some observations of their own about that. They could call us at 789-0318 or godspointofview@yahoo.com.
Now, with all that being said, I got a question for you. Do you think any of these things that we're seeing now are the Bible talks about birthing pains?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you think that could be part of that?
Sorry, I just having a sip of coffee there.
I know. I should have waited.
No. You're good about keeping right on talking. You know, a highly trained broadcast professional like yourself knows when to talk and when not to.
I can talk for 15 minutes and never say a word.
I know. I've heard you.
Oh my!
So now, what was the question?
Do you think that this is the Bible talks about birthing pains? Do you think that this is part of what we're seeing?
Yeah, because we're seeing more storms, more hurricanes,
more frequently, in diverse places. That's what the Bible says.
Wars and rumors of wars. They're all over the place.
Yeah,
they have increased.
Missile went right over top of Japan the other day from North Korea.
It remains to be seen what's going to come of that.
Yeah.
But sure. And the birth pains, let's just take a woman in labor.
Mm-hmm.
The birth pain, or before she's in labor and she has labor pains, the birth pains come more frequently.
Yeah.
And with greater intensity.
Yeah.
If you don't believe that, ask any married man that's tried to get his wife to the doctor who's pregnant.
Oh
boy.
Yes,
we've had a time. We don't have time to go into all the things. We turned around, come back. Our doctors were in Ashland at that time, and we've turned around, come back, and wanted to get halfway back, have to turn around, go right back because the pain started again. I'll tell you, it's hard on a man, let me tell you.
My dad used to say, you're cruising for a bruising.
Absolutely. He's absolutely right. That's why I'm going to change the subject.
You better do it quick.
I've learned a few things after 46 years of marriage. Timotheus, there was a compact, an agreement, a statement. That's what's called the Nashville Statement.
It's a Nashville Statement.
Yeah, that was signed back on about the 25th of August. Didn't get much press except in the theological circles. Albert Mohler Jr., individuals of his stature, great man of God, great theologian.
You're talking some big names.
Oh,
right there,
boy,
boy,
let me tell you. Yeah. Russell Moore also is another name, and not Russell Moore the third time out. That's a gospel, that's a bluegrass group. This is Russell Moore the preacher.
Yeah.
And although I like Russell Moore in the third time,
Moore the preacher, is he from Louisville? Is that right?
I'm not sure where Russell Moore is now.
Okay, I don't
Seems
know.
Like
if he...
I had him in Tennessee somewhere.
Okay, maybe.
Anyway, there were numerous ones. I'm maybe 2-3 dozen. I don't have it with me, but I've got it at home on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And they essentially were signing a statement, evangelical Christians making a statement about sexuality, about homosexuality, what the church believes about that, and they came together in agreement. It's called the Nashville Statement. The mayor of Nashville rejected it. They're welcoming LGBTQ. With open arms, and so they rejected the statement. And a lot of other liberal theologians are rejecting it as well. I encourage people to go to the Nashville Statement, I think it's .org. You can find it and read it. There are, I think, 14 or 15 things that they believe the Bible teaches. And, you know, I haven't read all of them yet.
Yeah.
But I've read some of them, and I agree with everything they've said.
And this is non-denominational. This is just God's church.
Yeah, crosses denominational lines.
Yeah, you haven't seen this. I'm going to put him on the spot here. I pulled this off this morning. This is a nice little story about a mother that that had an issue with Disneyland, if you will, and her three-year-old son.
I know the story.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. Yeah. 3 years old. How would a child 3 years old know?
Well, they wouldn't. They have to be taught.
There you go.
And so Disney said, no, this is a contest for girls because we want her to be the queen, you know, of the day or the week
Frozen,
or whatever it was.
Yeah.
The Frozen and Princess for a day.
Mm-hmm.
A princess is a girl.
Yeah.
This little boy, his mother said, you know, he wore the dresses, he knew the songs, he knew it all.
Dressed up every day.
Yeah, dressed up every day. So a representative of the park, as is indicated here by this document you just passed to me, says, of course, quote, of course, boys and girls are welcome to enjoy the Princess for a day experience. In addition to all other special activities, they're in a quandary.
and
could be sued.
Yeah.
Could be potentially sued.
Yeah.
From by this mother. So this is over in this is in Europe somewhere.
Yeah. 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 The mom is all distraught because her son could not sign up for Princess for a day.
Yeah.
3 years old.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's amazing. It is amazing.
Just interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know
so
knew that already.
Back to the Nashville Statement, and this ties in with.
Yep. That's why when you start talking about that, I said, here we go.
You're ready. You've done your prep work here. So this Nashville Statement is talking about this very thing. We believe that is not according to the Bible.
Yeah.
And that's not a negative comment toward the mother, certainly not toward the child.
No.
The child doesn't know, but we believe if we follow the Bible, we'll not be in those situations.
Yeah.
Problem is, mankind in general is not following the Bible.
Yeah.
And we're losing Timotheus and folks. We're losing
ground.
We're losing ground, but we're also losing the ability to even reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a thinking individual, we have to learn how to reason. Now, why do I say this? Well, I say this because of a report about Generation Z.
Yeah, I've heard of Generation Z. Now, what period of time?
Well, I think that's like 14 to 29. If I'm wrong, someone can call and correct me.
Okay.
But Generation Z is a mess.
Yeah.
And a lot of those folks are entering college this year.
Yeah.
And a lot of parents are concerned. Here's one survey of a British university. Their admissions staff, people who ought to know, said 9 out of 10 were concerned, the admissions staff, are concerned about students, quote, not being able to think and learn independently, end of quote.
Wow.
More than half felt they were unable, quote, to carry out extended writing, end of quote, and the same number, more than half, were, quote, unable to remember facts, possessing a Google it mentality, end of quote.
Yeah.
In the article on the survey, the Times Higher Education, the paper there, written by a fellow by the name of Jeremy Lewis, asks this question. So, what's going on? Why is the most widely connected generation in the history of humankind, seemingly so ill-prepared for university, social, and intellectual life? Here's his conclusion. He concluded that the, quote, connected nature of their lives has left them unable to think for themselves.
I can see that, yes.
They know how to work the system, such as performing on exams, but they do not know how to challenge ideas.
Yeah.
Which is why in this culture, nobody challenges, except unless you're a Christian, people will challenge
that. Oh, they will challenge that.
Let me say a word about Joel Osteen while we're talking about that.
Yeah.
He's been in the news, and they've been beating him up.
They have.
Yeah.
And
I've read some reports about that. He thought they wanted him to open up a distribution center, and there was already one down the street. So since they had water, he said, in their building, they declined. But then they said, no, we need a shelter. So there was portions of the building that were not underwater or didn't have any water, and they opened that up. It seems like there was a misunderstanding, maybe a lack of communication. Why can't we give people the benefit of the doubt? I don't subscribe to Joel Osteen's preaching. As a matter of fact, I don't particularly care for his preaching. But
is
I
that
think,
what you call it, preaching?
That's what they call it.
Okay.
And he's a lot of folks follow him. He's got a great church there. I remember his daddy. He used to watch his daddy. His daddy was a real preacher now in terms of getting the word out. And preaching scripture, book, chapter, and verse. And I don't want to make this about that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, let's not beat up on the guy. He's doing the best he can out there.
Yeah.
Now, if it turns out that he was in the wrong, that'll be revealed in time.
Yeah.
But there have been some really nasty things said about him. I mean, by people that just hate God, hate the Bible, and anybody that stands up for it.
Looking for a reason.
If you stand up for God, you're going to be criticized.
They hated me first.
The first call we get here today may be a call of criticism. And this line is open for that.
789-0318.
Yeah.
789-0318.
We don't invite persecution. But we're not going to back away from criticism and suffering. We think that's part of the Christian life. What was it Jesus said to Moses?
They hated me first.
Hated me first. What else was it he said? In this world, ye shall have tribulation.
Tribulation.
But, ooh, I love that word.
I have overcome the world.
Amen, brother. You're absolutely right. So here's a quote from the guy who's involved in creating the iPod. And the iPhone. I have one laying right over there.
I've got mine.
Yeah. Here's what he said. Quote, his name, by the way, is Tony Fadell. F-A-D-E-L-L. He writes, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He writes, I think Fadell sounds better than Faddle. I'm just saying.
I'm with Fadell. You. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. So he says, quote, I wake up in cold sweats every so often thinking, what did we bring to the world?
Wow.
Did we really bring a nuclear bomb with information that can, like we see the fake news, blow up people's brains and reprogram them? Or did we bring light to people who never had information, who now can be empowered? You know how he answered it? Yes. In other words, we did both.
Yeah, we did. Well, they did.
It doesn't make any difference what it is, an automobile, an iPhone, a pickup truck, an iPad, this desk, this microphone, they
riding
can be used
more.
Right? Yeah. It can be used for good or bad.
Amen.
And so we don't know. It is not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. That's what the good book says. So it's up to us. Jeremiah, the prophet tells us. So it's up to us to be monitored by the Word of God. The Bible says the heart of man is wicked above all things.
Yep.
Who can know it? It is beyond cure. So it's up to us to have a standard that we go by. And you know what? We used to have a standard. Everybody followed it. Now, they might not have been Sunday going all the time. They might not have been clean living. But they had a respect for the Word of God.
Yes. Yeah.
Listen, folks, I've been preaching now for a little over 43 years, and I can remember a time when you go into a crowd and people, whatever they were doing. I came out of a house one time. Hey, we got a telephone call. Let's get it. I'll finish the story in a minute.
Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Good morning, man.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Love the program. Love you guys. I don't care what the rest of them say.
Thank you so much.
We feel the same way, brother.
And listen, I'm a little late in the conversation, actually, from what you've been talking about, but did you hear about the man that decided he wanted to be 9 years old? I didn't look at it very well. My wife showed it to me, but he decided he was going to be 9 years old, and I can't remember what gender he was going to be.
I thought you repented of that, brother. I thought we...
No, you know what? That conversation took place also. I told her about that sometime.
Bless your little heart.
But anyhow, there was an older couple adopted him as a nine-year-old. And there was a picture of him with some kind of little bonnet or something on sitting between them. And he was twice their size.
And how old is he actually, do you know?
I didn't look at the article.
He's old enough to know better than grown man.
I just started saying, my gosh, every time you think you...
Yeah, you've seen everything,
It's just amazing.
Well, I had not seen that report. I'm sure I'll see it later today or maybe tomorrow. I'll be looking for it. What a ridiculous, ridiculous world in which we live.
Where does it stop?
I'll tell you where it stops. It'll stop when the Lord Jesus comes back.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I don't know where it can stop. And the people that adopted him, I would like to have a conversation with them.
Yeah, I would too.
I'd love to hear how they justify that.
What kind of reasoning do they use?
And it could be fake news. She just showed it to me, and I don't know what she was looking
at. We'll do a little research and find out and let you know what the deal is on.
I'd like to be 55 again.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Not me. I haven't made it there yet.
Thank you, guys.
I'll stay where I'm at.
We love you, brother. You take care. Thanks for the call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Now, the brother's talking about how ridiculous things are, and we're talking about that. We're in agreement, certainly, on that. Whatever happened to a code of living that everybody understood? For instance, we've got time just for this. Oh, we got two calls coming in. Let's get them to both of these.
Good morning. Welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment?
Yes, sir. I listen to the broadcast, and I completely agree with your guys' comment.
God bless you, brother.
But wasn't it the Lord that looked down on the affairs of man in Genesis and said that he saw the thoughts and the imagination of their hearts was only evil continually?
Amen.
And then that brought the deluge that came upon the world then, and I think we're sitting on the precipice of that just one more time.
I couldn't agree more, brother.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Jesus said in when he comes, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. You're exactly correct.
Yeah.
God bless you for that.
All right. God bless you guys.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Good day.
Go back to the phone lines. Good morning, and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment? Hello?
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, I thought somebody was there. Let's try it again.
All right. Okay.
Are you there?
We lost them.
We haven't anybody. Okay.
Maybe they'll call back here in a little bit.
Hopefully.
I was telling you a story about coming out of a house years ago. A lady had cancer, and I went to see her. And she'd been in the hospital, come home. I went to the hospital to check on her, then went to her home to see how she was doing. Pulled out of the driveway, backed out of the driveway, and when I got to where I could see in front of me, there was an alley, dead end. And there were some guys playing poker on the hood of a car. Well, I used to play a little poker myself to mow this.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah, I had a $5 limit. I wasn't really serious about it.
Yeah.
But when the Lord changed my heart, I quit that. But I saw two men in that group. There was five men. I saw two of the men, two out of five I knew. The others I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
My first thought was, go ahead and just back on out. But I had a better thought. Better thought was to go on down there and just talk to them.
Yeah.
Not in a condemning way. Just talk with them. And I pulled my car down to where they were, got out, and you know, every single one of those men, every one of them, all sinners, laid their cards down.
Had respect.
And folded their hands. And had respect. And the brother that I knew, the man that I knew, who later became a brother in Christ, by the way, and not necessarily because of that visit. There was a lot of influences in his life.
Mm-hmm.
I talked with him a minute, and we joked a little bit, had a good visit. And I said, men, I used to play a little poker, and I told him that same story. And I said, the Lord changed that, took that away from me, and he can do that for you. Innocent card game, that's fine. But if I can beat you and get your money and make you suffer and I think I profit from it, that's wrong. That's just not right. But anyway, two of those men became children of God later in life, 20 years later maybe. Now, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying I was directly responsible for that, but I didn't do any harm.
Yeah.
That's the first rule.
Didn't offend
them. Yeah. I didn't judge them. Didn't look down on them.
Yeah.
Just told them, if I can ever help you, you holler.
Let me know.
And that's what the church needs to be doing. The church needs to be involved. We need to go around where those poker games are going on. We need to go around where they're in the jail cell. That brother just called, be in the jail after what? Now, I mean, he'll be there visiting people. Maybe he ought to be in jail, but he'll be there visiting. He'll be there visiting people. He baptized a fellow over there yesterday.
Mm.
Tuesday, I guess it was. Here's another call.
Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay.
Oh, people, you know, always talk about, you know, when you die, you know, what happens to you. Okay, when you die, do you believe if you're Christian, you'll just go into heaven like Jesus told the man on the cross, you know, to ask forgiveness? Or do you believe that you'll still be judged if you're a Christian?
Oh, my. What a wonderful question that is. Now, you've been doing some study. You've been thinking about some deep things.
Well, I've been a Christian since I was 13.
Yeah. All right. So we got two issues here.
Yeah.
And the first issue is, do we go on to be with the Lord?
Yeah.
And what was the second one? That will we be judged?
Yeah, we'll be still judged even though we've become a Christian.
There are two judgments. No. There's a judgment for rewards for the Christian to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give rewards out for how you've lived your life. That's one judgment. But as far as the judgment about sin, is that what you're asking about? That's already been judged, and we were found guilty at the cross.
Oh, yeah.
And we should have been crucified. Praise God, you took our place.
Yeah.
Amen?
And
let me go back to the first part of it, because time is of the essence. We go immediately into the presence of God. The Bible, Jesus told the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. God bless you for your call today. But we're out of time.
We need more time.
Yeah. Thank you, sister. God bless.
What time do you all have this?
10:30 to 11 on Thursday.
Yeah, we need about 10:30, 11:30, but maybe one of these days.
Thank you, Sissy, for calling today.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
And that's going to do it for this edition of God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. We'd like to invite you to services at the church. Sunday school gets underway at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning. Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. Life groups at 6 p.m. Sunday evenings, and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.